In 2 Corinthians 2:14, he says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph." I'm not bragging, but I am a triumphal person. My whole Christian life is a story of triumph. I didn't say it was a story of failure and or things that happened or disappointments or things that, but he always leads us in triumph. Thanks be to God who always, I'm convinced, neither height nor depth, nor power, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't claim that triumph in any merit of my own. I don't claim it on the basis that I'm holier than anybody. But I say thank you. Because whatever this world throws at us, we are more than conquerors in Christ. If I could download a revelation to people, I'd just like to say, I could just load it in. That's what I'd want you to get. Scripture has so much to say about thankfulness. Give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures until next Thursday at 5. For his love endures forever. Give thanks in all circumstances, 1 Thessalonians. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To give thanks in all circumstances. Some circumstances are so incredibly dark and difficult and painful. How do you find that place? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, that you'd be complete, lacking in nothing. If anybody lacks wisdom, which I think we qualify for that, let him ask the Father, and he gives generously without reproach. But let that man ask in faith, for the man who doesn't ask in faith is like the surf of the sea tossed to and fro. Let him not expect anything from the Lord. Thanks and thanksgiving are all connected, and faith working through that. Gratitude in our hearts moves us from a negative spirit and a critical spirit to thankfulness and humility for his present love and eternal faithfulness. Gratitude speaks to all the other virtues. It is the fountain of which out of it comes all love and all the graces. Gratitude is a basic posture of heart. Please raise your hand this morning if you've ever met an ungrateful person. Ooh. How many have ever called their children ungrateful? May I see your hands? Ah, parents, need some work there. How many kids have ever said, "You should be grateful you ever had me"? I've seen kids do that too. I am a gift to you. Did you know that? In Gulliver's Travels, ingratitude was a capital offense. So here you are, you end up in jail. You're in jail, and the guy next to you says, "What are you in here for?" "I'm here for murder." "What are you in for?" "I'm ungrateful. I got 5 to 10 for being ungrateful." An ungrateful heart is poison in your soul. When you meet an ungrateful person, they can barely speak till the bitterness starts coming out, till the negativity starts bing, 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 bing. "Why me? Why me? Why me?" And it goes on and on. And you're loving to them, but you say, "You know, I don't want to go on vacation with you." Because your life is nothing about complaining, what you don't have. It incarcerates your spirit. There are no happy, ungrateful people on this planet. The Greek word for thanksgiving is eucharista, where we get the word Eucharist. Communion is actually the giving and receiving of thanks. Being grateful is not a denial of trials or pain. Yet it's in the trials and tribulations of life that gratefulness blesses God. The Lord never promised us a problem-free life. He said very clearly, John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. Okay, so that's why we're not supposed to be surprised when we have tribulation. In this world, this time space, you and I will have tribulation. Your tribulation may be different than mine. You may go through something. When you go through it, you feel like you're the only one that's ever been through that. You're the only one that understands you. But he says, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In the power of Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we overcome. Gratitude is your heart's memory. It's a passive grace. It's a posture of heart that resonates back to God in all of life. When we're not grateful, it gives the enemy room to move in our life. Because right next to not being grateful is bitterness and resentment and anger and all the things associated with that. But Pat said it this morning, we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, we'll enter his courts with praise. When you pray, is that something that comes right out at the very beginning? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice even though I don't sing. Sing! Sing! You sing everything else. Oh man, you'll pay $150 to go to a concert to list somebody. You'll go that, but you gotta sing yourself. Sing. Sing, 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 sing. Amen. All non-singers, raise your hands. I wanna see you. I'll call you out today. Who are you? There's a non-singer. It is so joyful to sing. I remember my father walking around the house and he was a real patriot, and he was walking around going, it's a grand old flag, it's a high-flying flag. He's just working in the garage. I said, my dad's happy because he's singing. Singing busts us out. If I say to you, I love you, Lord, that's one thing. But if I say, I love you, Lord, and I give my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Now, if I do that by myself versus I love you, Lord, and I rejoice in you, there's something broken when you let those lips go. This isn't even in my notes. I don't know, because singing snaps me out of self-referential behavior. I told somebody a joke not long ago, and they thought it was really funny. They said, you got any more? I need jokes because I'm just poker-faced. Everywhere I go, I've got a lemon in my, like I'm sucking on a lemon. I only had one. I'm sorry. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is, can you pull that up, Psalm 100? It is the barcode into his presence. It's the card you swipe to get in the door. It's the entrance into your ATM. It is the code. What's your code before God? It's thankfulness. But yeah, but Kevin, I'm going through it, man. I'm really going through it. I'm not. I know. I get it. But I'm going to enter his gates. You go to the gate. Someone gets on the mic, calls you, says, "You can come in now." The gate comes in. The gate, his gate, is just simply thankfulness. And I'll enter his courts with praise. I cannot praise God and be thinking about myself. When you praise God, you're not thinking about your problems, where you're going to be next week, what the problems in marriage, family, and everything you worry about or is on your heart, because praise is a sacrifice. Psalm 116, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Thanksgiving is vocal, it's positive, it's acting. When you give thanks, you're saying something. Thanksgiving isn't gratitude. You can be grateful for someone and never said a word to them. You never said anything to them or to a family member or someone like, I'm really grateful to you. That can be there. But when you say, I'm really grateful to you, you're expressing thanksgiving. You are speaking. I talk to people all the time who say their father never told them they loved them. They were never affirmed growing up. It's affected their life. But you can be a generation breaker. You can be full of praise and gratitude. Thanksgiving is vocal. Thanksgiving is a response to things already received, and prayer entreats for things desired and asked for in God. True thanksgiving is sacrificial and calls for action. Another psalm says, "We shall magnify the Lord and exalt his name together." In other words, when I center my heart on the Lord, he gets bigger, I get smaller. We are to pray, to be alert, Colossians 4:2, with an attitude of what? Thanksgiving. So we're actually to be alert, like with an attitude of thanksgiving. It's all around us, all the time. And in Revelation, he says, "All thanksgiving, honor, and power and might are unto you, Lord." Okay, I want to show a video here that, let me lead it in. This is what I would call, what did I think this guy was? Okay, no one in this room is this way. But there is, believe it or not, there are Christians that are half empty all the time. It's what we don't have. So let's watch this. It's bedtime.
Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for. Lord, I'm struggling. Show me what I have to be thankful for.
That's it. Half empty glass. is what we don't have or what we think we should have going to carry the day in our lives? Or can we be grateful for that which is right in front of us? He could have gone on. I've shared this a number of times, but when Aaron was little, we used to play the Thanksgiving game. So we just would go as long as we could being thankful for things. It got down to eyelashes. I'm thankful for my eyebrows. I'm thankful for my earlobes. Thank you for my kneecaps. Without my kneecaps, my knees wouldn't work. Thank you for my toes. Thank you for my toenails, which protect my toes. Thank you for my skin. Thank you for my eyes. Thank you for my hair. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for all these things. Thank you. Overflowing with gratitude. It's like a well out in the country. You prime the pump of gratitude, and you'll find that in the beginning, for some of us, the pump is nothing but grunge and mud, because there's been so much negativity thrown in of what you deserved or what you didn't deserve. And you didn't get the break that everybody else got. The self-talk has driven us. So you crank that thing up, and it's just like, it's all this mud and junk. But if you work hard enough, it breaks through, and all of a sudden, clean, fresh Arrowhead water starts coming through that well. And, you know, we say, I got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the blind to see, lame to walk. Out of me shall flow rivers of living water. It springs up out of a wellspring of gratitude. So I want to tell a story that is familiar. I'll read it to you. It's in Luke 17, 11 through 17. Or 19, 11 through 17. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He was passing between Samaria and Galilee. He entered a village, and 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. They raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, wait, can I just say something here? Stop it there. How do you think they asked for mercy? Excuse me, Jesus, would you have mercy on us? You wouldn't consider having mercy, would you? He's walking. Have mercy on me. Let's get real. If you want mercy, you need to yell for it. We're going to sing for it. We're going to yell for it. We're going to be real. Even if you're an introvert and even if you're quiet, no one's going to, I know you've raised your voice at sometimes. I know you've seen things happen that have made you exceedingly happy and you got expressive. That is tied to our spirit. They raise their voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Okay, he's 100 feet away. By Jewish law, you couldn't come within 100 paces of lepers. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't say, what's up? He doesn't have a conversation with them. Continue. Next verse. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they were, and as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, one of them turned back, glorifying God with a what? With a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. It's hard to picture just what outcast lepers were. They had to stand at a distance. This healing took place not in church, not at a conference. It didn't take place with a healing specialist, or it wasn't at a prayer meeting. It took place as Jesus was out and about. That's because there'll be no end to the increase of his government or his peace, that he's not a tame lion and he's moving. In Matthew, it says, God is the sower, the sons of the kingdom are the seed, and the world is the field. So God is sowing sons and daughters of the kingdom into the world along the way. Whatever that way is this week for you and last week and next week, you're being sown into this culture. You're good seed being sown into this culture to bring forth the kingdom of God. See yourself in God's hands. He's sowing you in, and he's expecting fruit. Jesus was always about his Father's business. So he's coming back in between Judea and Samaria, and he stays away. He honors Jewish law because he stays back from these defiled, separated people. It's important for us to identify with the lepers, because in our sinful state, before you came to Christ, you're every bit a leper as they are. You are every bit as detestable and repugnant as they are. You and I were lost. He says in Romans, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were far off at one time. Some of you today may still be. But they cried out for mercy, and no one can do that but you. It's an interesting thing, too, is to look at that the Pharisees, the Jews and Samaritans would have nothing to do with each other. Samaritans were, the racial hatred towards Samaritans is hard for us to even imagine. They didn't associate with each other. They didn't eat with each other. They didn't even like walking through Samaria. And yet, when you get leprosy, Jews and Samaritans hang out together. When you're a sinner, you hang out with anybody. That's why we're open. We're so different. The only thing we really have in common is our sinfulness. Is there anything else we have? I mean, sinfulness is, and it's Jesus dealing with our sinfulness that gives us this common bond of forgiveness and love for him. And that's how we become one body, because of it. Not because of our race or our wealth or our education or any of the things that we normally think. If you like tomatoes, I like tomatoes, we should get together because we're all the same. You know, we're looking for people like us. That's why the body of Christ is diverse. Every tribe, every nation on this celestial ball we sing about, that he is moving. But only sin is the common denominator of the human condition for every human being that has ever lived. So, in a figurative sense, we're like the lepers, lost and cut off. And it's interesting to me, they didn't ask for the blessing before obedience, they just went. Obedience releases the blessing. If we do what we can, then God will do what we cannot. Go show yourself to the Lord. Let God heal you of your heart. The one came back glorifying God with a loud voice, fell at his face and his feet. Now, I want to ask you, this is personal, but I'm not asking for to answer so I understand you. But you should ask yourself if you ever fell at his feet and prostrated yourself to where you were undone. This leper did. He had no hope. he was done. The rest of his life was going to be on the side of this road, isolated from other people, with great welts and all kinds of his hands. His eyes would eventually go blind. He'd have sores all over his body. His family would not see him. The culture could not stand him, and that was his future, not exactly upwardly mobile. That's why we sing, "I'm so glad that Jesus set me free." That's why we sing these songs to him. Great is his faithfulness that they sang this morning was so wonderful. He's so faithful. The one grateful leper who happened to be a Samaritan. Isn't it funny? The Lord loves Samaritans. I'm afraid he loves Samaritans more than he loves church people. He loves the good Samaritan. Jesus himself was called a Samaritan. The woman at the well, who had five husbands, was a Samaritan, lived in Samaria. She worshiped at a different Samaritan church. And yet this Samaritan, again, was the only one that came back. Is it possible that we just get dull? We just, you know, church is church, and we just, God saved me, and that's good, and I love him, yeah, right. But when you really get saved and you know it, when you really are, the Lord's really healed you, there's something that happens, and that's what happened to this formerly scarred and repulsive looking person, came back and glorified God because they were well and praised his name with a loud voice. He fell at his feet with humility, which is a proper focus and attitude of heart. And his words were, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't have anything else to say, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." The nine warn us that ingratitude is a very common sin. It's very common. All of us battle it. I know you do. It's very easy to forget the benefits of the Lord and what he's done for you on the cross and what he's doing for you in this present life. We're battling a lot. The culture is always at the door telling us a different message. C.S. Lewis said, "We ought to give thanks for all fortune, if it is good, because it is good, if bad, because it works in us patience, humility, and contempt of this for this world and the hope of our eternal country." Tim Keller said, thinking about gratitude, "It's one thing to be grateful, it's another to give thanks. Gratitude is what you feel, thanksgiving is what you do." Corrie ten Boom, who was in concentration camps and her sister died, and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. "I've held on to many things, and I've held many things in my hands and have lost them all, but whatever I've placed in God's hand, that I still possess." Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, Colossians 3:15-16. And whatever you do, verse 17, "whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Gratitude and thanksgiving are incompatible with murmuring and complaining. God hears our grumbling as well as our thanksgiving. That's why we're exhorted to do all things without grumbling or disputing. The disciples grumbled, Israelites grumbled in their tents. When grumbling exceeds thanksgiving, we're on the wrong path. Why do we grumble? "You didn't meet my expectations. Mom and Dad didn't do something right. I didn't get my way. No one pays attention to me. How come they? I never. We miss the log in our own eye, go around trying to remove the speck of others. Thanksgiving and praise will move us from self-centeredness to God-centeredness, which is the key to an obedient life. We are to maintain a heart of gratitude and have a good memory of His redeeming love and forget none of His benefits. So may our hearts be full this coming Thanksgiving. As you do gather around the table, may He be honored in the midst, and may we honor one another. It's good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to His name, O Most High, to declare Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness at night. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. My notes said, what a wonderful Lord and Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I ran out of print. It is not outward circumstances. It is the presence or absence of a thankful spirit that makes all the difference in your life. I don't know what I would do if I was raised in Paradise, California. I don't know. I pray to God that the things I'm preaching today would be in my heart. I don't know what it is when you get fired, when you get a disease, when you lose a loved one, when we see the tragedies around us. I got to be thankful. Thankful for life. It's so important to be grateful. And I hope you heard me this morning that I'm not referring to Pollyanna, pie in the sky, you know. Like, I meet people too. I said, how are you doing? I am doing wonderful. How are you? Please, there's so much sugar on that. I'm going to get sugar overload. Don't be that, you're not that sweet. I promise you, at home, you're not going, hey, would you please pass the ketchup? So don't do that at church. Just be yourself, but be grateful and don't just see where your mind is going. Your mind's going to this video. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us have everything that was in that video. But most of us are still unhappy in some way. We want more. What is it that's missing? You write the ticket. What is it? What do you need? You need a raise? Okay, get the raise. Then you need a bigger raise because you need a bigger house. You get a bigger house, you get a bigger raise. Then what? It goes on and on. Some people even say, well, I want to make a lot of money so I can help missions. Well, have you ever done anything for missions in your life at this point? No, it's pie in the sky. It's bull. Bull. That's all I said. Bull. Bull, bull, bull. You're kidding yourself. Now's the day you help with missions. Now's when you dig in, you give the widow's mite, whatever you can, your time, money, or energy. Today is the day of salvation. You don't even be here next week. We don't know. I want to be thankful, and I have to fight it. Because my weakness is I'm a blame shifter. I'm a filthy, rotten, dirty blame shifter. I don't do it all the time, but did you take my keys? What happened? Where's my wallet? Did you move my wallet? Dudley, where's my workout bag? Was that over here? She said, Kevin, what are you talking? It's in me, okay? I'm not totally 100% out of the woods yet on the sanctification process, but I am thankful. I'm thankful for my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my church. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful for the kingdom of God. When I start expressing these things, it is like the well starts coming up and you become different. The circumstances don't necessarily change. You still have debt. You still have a major issue facing you. You still have a different approach. God resonates in a grateful heart. And his chastisement of the other nine should show you how important gratitude is to him. If you've ever done something on your initiative for someone really nice, and they never even expressed the slightest interest in what you did, you are wounded. They were so ungrateful. And then the other hand, something you weren't expecting, you get this lavish thank you note from somebody, just said, thank you, you made my day. Gosh, what was that about? You have the ability, I have the ability to make a difference. I want to close with one more quote. This is Bonhoeffer. In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. It's very easy to overestimate the importance of our own achievements in comparison to what we owe others. I am a product of other people's investment, other people's sacrifice, other people caring and love, as are you. None of us stand here because we're wonderful and did it all right. So as we close today, I want to read the verse. Let's stand and I'll read it. Pat, do you think you can do that song?
Yeah.
Lindsay, do you know, I'd like to get Lindsay to join me with this one if she'd come up. I love the... You'll hear the bars, and you know the song. I know you do. You can belt it out. See how much confidence I have? Knowing nothing about music, but knowing something about musicians. They're just good. Okay, bring that up, please. No, not the song, the scripture. I'm sorry. The scripture is Colossians 3:12. Okay. This, you can read this now. When you read it, please don't do it mush mouth. You know how it is? Whenever we read in unison, it can be mush mouth. But read it like you're the only one reading it, okay? Is there anybody that can't read? Okay, we all can read. Is there anybody that can't talk? Okay, so we'll do it by the way. I'll kind of pace this and we'll go. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.